Well, thank you, Aiden. Thank you, band. Wow. That was spectacular is a good word. Overwhelming. You can tell Sarah's been with Jesus. That's the mark of true worship. Is it coming from a place of, hey, I can sing because she can sing? Or is it coming from a place of, I've spent time with Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for this church. I'm so grateful for your church. So grateful for the students that you have sovereignly brought here tonight. I'm so grateful for the leaders and team members that have made the sacrifice to be here because they believe so much in this next generation. On my own, Lord, I got nothing tonight. On my own, I don't have words that bring life. I don't have words that bring power. That can only come through you, from you, by you. So fill me with your spirit and give me words, Lord, that do bring life, that do bring power by your spirit. And we give this night to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, my name is David, and I get to serve as one of your pastors, and it is a true honor. Before we get started in the second message of our In Real Life series, I do want to acknowledge an anniversary. If you were here last year on this date in history, you know that your student director, Caden Walker, had a seizure, and I was there when it happened. And that was one of the greatest seizures in the history of seizures, because were it not for his seizure that knocked him unconscious, he would have never found out that he had a brain tumor. 365 days ago this happened. He has had three brain surgeries. He is still going through treatment. He goes back and forth to Houston every couple of months to get scanned. He is cancer-free right now, and he is your student director. I say that because God is real. And maybe you haven't seen him do a miracle, or maybe you've been praying for a miracle. Maybe through Abide, you were praying for a miracle, and you haven't seen it. I am praying for physical healing in my own body. I have not seen it yet, but I've seen him move. And because I've seen him move, my faith is strong, whether he heals me now or until I see Jesus, because I know he's going to heal. So every time you see Caden, just remember, God hears our prayers, and he is faithful. So Caden preached the first part of In Real Life, real obedience, real relationships take real obedience. Today, I'm going to talk about real relationships take real forgiveness. Now, he talked about it from the point of view of the authority of a parent. Now, that authority is transferred from God to anyone in authority over us, whether it's a teacher or a coach or a parent, or a guardian, or a grandparent, or an older brother or sister. So it applied to everybody. Today we're talking about real relationships in the context of siblings. You may have a biological brother or sister. You may have a stepbrother or stepsister. You may have a foster brother or sister. You may have a half-brother or sister. You may not have a brother or sister. this message still applies to you. It applies to every single person in the room because it is about forgiveness, and real relationships take real forgiveness. But what we're going to see today is that real forgiveness and real love, you can only understand by understanding real forgiveness and real love. So my first point up on the screen, it may not make sense, and that's on purpose. We can't understand forgiveness and love without understanding forgiveness and love. Huh? Has Pastor David made a mistake? Mm-mm. No, I'm going to explain that a little later on. And I'm going to explain it through the story of a guy and some of his siblings. Now, if you were here in September, as we were going through the Old Testament, I had a chance to preach on this very story. So it's not a coincidence that it came up. I didn't pick this story. I didn't pick these verses. David, can you preach on this particular date? Yes, I can. Here are the verses. Here they are. Joseph. So open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 50. We're going to be in the story of Joseph. Not yet. We're not there yet. Thank you. Joseph had some brothers, and they were not very kind. Who has a sibling that hasn't been very kind to them? Okay, so this message is for everybody. If you didn't raise your hand, this message is still for you. I have an older brother. He is 3.5 years older than I am, which means I got beat up a lot when I was growing up. One time, he stuck my head through 2 iron railings in our house, and my head did not come out. My dad had to take one of the railings down in order to get my head out. I have since forgiven him. It's taken me 64 years, but I have since forgiven him. Joseph also had a bit of a go with his brothers. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was thrown into a pit and left for dead by his brothers. His brothers then told his father that Joseph was dead, even though Joseph wasn't dead. So I don't know about y'all, that's worse than getting your head stuck between 2 railings. Joseph, after all that, had an incredible turnaround. Joseph actually became second in command. This guy that was thrown into a pit winds up second in command of the entire country of Egypt. So there's like Pharaoh, king of Egypt, whatever you want to call him, the big cheese of Egypt. And then there's Joseph, second in command. He's basically running the joint. Well, a famine hits, which means there's no food. So Joseph's brothers wind up coming back to Egypt, begging for food. Guess who they went to? Joseph. But they didn't know it was Joseph. They didn't know it was their little brother that they had thrown into a pit and left for dead. They didn't know it was the little brother that they were so jealous of. They didn't know it was the little brother that they had told their father, hey, Joseph is dead. And Joseph has every reason in the world to say, you can't have any food. Now we're going to pick it up in verse 15, Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, so Joseph's dad dies. Joseph's brothers see that dad's gone, and they said, I don't know about this. It may be that Joseph is going to hate us and pay us back for all the evil we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, so they're making this up. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept. Joseph hears this, whether it was true or not, and he weeps. And his brothers came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." And Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God?" Now, what is he saying there? He's saying, "I'm not God. I don't have vengeance. I don't have the power to take revenge on you. Do not fear, for am I in the place of God?" Verse 20. "As for you guys, you meant evil against me. I know you did. But God meant it for good." That's the key verse there. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and for your little ones and for your kids." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph had every reason in the world to seek vengeance. Joseph had every reason in the world to have them killed. Joseph had every reason in the world to throw them into a pit. He had every reason in the world to say, "I don't believe you. I know Dad wouldn't have written that, but I'm going to forgive you." Because he recognized forgiveness doesn't deny the pain. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you forget. He was trusting that God had a bigger purpose. He was told by his brothers, "We hate you. We're going to leave you in this pit. You're going to die." But he told them, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." So by forgiving them, Joseph breaks the cycle of sin and revenge and sin and revenge and sin and revenge. He breaks that cycle, not just for his family, but for all of the people. Now, that's the story. And you may be going, "Great. That's a dude that lived 4,000 years ago. Can you give us something with a little bit more modern context?" Yeah. I'm going to tell you about a guy that lived 2,000 years ago. You guys are so smart. His name also starts with a J. Anybody know whose name that is? Jesus. That is always the answer. Well played. Remember the story of the Bible. If you don't get anything out of this tonight, take this one thing. The story of the Bible is one story, all leading to Jesus. Doesn't matter whether it's in Genesis or Revelation, the first and the 66th book of the Bible, all leads to Jesus. Amen. If you remember when we talked about Joseph back in September, I told you there were some similarities. So Joseph was betrayed. Who else was betrayed? Joseph was sold for silver. Who else was sold for silver? Joseph's suffering was unjust. Who else's suffering was unjust? That's right. They both had every reason for vengeance, and they both forgave the ones who didn't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve forgiveness. And I'll get to that. They both had real relationships. We have real relationships. But in order to have real relationships, their forgiveness had to be real. So allow me to be real and talk about the understanding of forgiveness and love. Without the understanding of love, you can't understand forgiveness. Without understanding forgiveness, you can't understand love. Without understanding forgiveness, you can't understand relationships. The entire story of this book is about restoring a relationship. When we sin, and that's all of us, that's what the Bible says, we're all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. I say this every time I speak about sin. Sin is another word for mess. We're all a mess. I'm a mess, and Caden is less of a mess. Pastor Jason is a mess, but less of a mess than I am. We're all a mess. We're all sinners. That sin has separated us from our relationship with our Heavenly Father. So I want to make that clear. We had this relationship with our Heavenly Father. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden in the beginning of Genesis. That broke our relationship with God. In order to restore our relationship, there had to be forgiveness of our sin. You follow me so far? God is in the restoration business. And for us to be in the Father's business, which we're supposed to be, because Jesus said he was in the Father's business, Luke chapter 2, if you want to reference that, Luke chapter 2, Jesus says, I'm about my Father's business. If we want to be about our Father's business, we got to be in the forgiveness business, because he is in the forgiveness business. So here is the explanation of my first point, which was, in order to understand forgiveness and love, you have to understand forgiveness and love. Here is my main point. The only way to understand forgiveness and love is to stand under the cross of Christ. See what I did there? Understand, stand under. I thought it was good too. You're welcome. Jesus just didn't teach forgiveness. He is forgiveness. Jesus didn't just teach love. He is love. Anybody here have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Okay. All right. I may be wrong, it may be real love. But I am willing to bet it's probably not. I'm willing to bet that it's probably infatuation. I'm willing to bet it might be lust. Could be anything, but unless you understand real love, and you understand that real love means sacrifice, and that real love is seen at the cross of Christ, it's probably not, at your age, real love. I'm not discounting that it could be. You could marry your middle school sweetheart. That happens. But real love is sacrificial. Real forgiveness is sacrificial. And here is the definition of that real love. Go to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, while we were in our sinful condition, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. That means, would you die for like a good person? You just walk in front of a train so somebody else doesn't get hit by that train? Though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. This is possible. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, in our mess, Jesus Christ died for us. Wow. That's how much he loves us. You know the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Well played. Everybody dies, but not everybody perishes. The ones who trust in Jesus will not perish. That's how much he loves us. So without understanding that kind of love, that sacrificial love, and if you're with us for our Christmas gathering, I preached about the crucifixion. Without understanding that that had to happen, without understanding that the slaughter of Jesus had to happen, there had to be the killing of the Passover lamb, which is Jesus. There had to be the shedding of Jesus's blood, washing us clean of our sins. That was the act of love that was the forgiveness of our sins that brought us back into the real relationship with our Heavenly Father. Full circle. Our relationship is broken. Somebody has to pay the penalty. In order to forgive us of our sins, to bring us back into the relationship with our Heavenly Father, Jesus dies. My brother doesn't know Jesus. He has no idea how I could forgive and the context for real love and real forgiveness. There are some things that I am struggling with right now to forgive. Let's be honest with you. I mean, you really don't want somebody up here giving you a line of bull. I try to be as real as I can. I am struggling with forgiving right now. I won't get into why. But the book of Colossians gives me a reason why I have to get to a place. And it might not be right away. You know, forgiveness isn't when your parents say, you got to forgive your brother. Okay, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? That's not forgiveness. Sometimes it takes a little bit to get to forgiveness. We're not required to forgive immediately. We're just required to forgive. Well, where does that come from? If real love comes from the cross, where does the requirement to forgive come from? Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Is it chapter 3? It is. Chapter 3, verse 12. That is a chihuahua. What is it called? Paperclip. Thank you. It's a chihuahua paperclip. Yeah. Yeah. I have a chihuahua. His name's Pretzel. He's my buddy. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, does anybody hear music? Therefore, as God's chosen people, it's us, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When Jesus died on the cross for us and we trust in Jesus, we exchange our sin for his righteousness. The Bible says we are clothed in his righteousness. Clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We forgive because we have been forgiven. We forgive much because we've been forgiven much. So the model is love is sacrificial and it happens at the cross. That's how much Jesus loves you. He did that to forgive you. and I can't forgive my brother for sticking my head in some railings. I can't forgive that person for the thing that they said about me. I don't have to go to hell. That's how forgiven I am. Because my sin, the punishment of sin, is death, eternal separation from God the Father. And that's hell. But I don't have to go there because I've been forgiven, which is why we forgive. Now, please hear this clearly. Not asking someone to forgive you is just as bad. If you wrong someone and you don't ask them to forgive you, that's just arrogant. That's just pride. If you posted something on social media about someone and that hurt them and you haven't gone to them and asked them to forgive you, that's on you. We forgive much because we've been forgiven much, but because we've been forgiven by the power of the Holy Spirit, we must ask others for forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean, though, you pretend it didn't matter. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you don't have boundaries. If someone has hurt you, if someone has abused you, I want you to hear this from your pastor. I am deeply grieved by that. I am so sorry that happened to you. We have counselors that you can talk to, pastors you can talk to, you can talk to your small group leaders. So I'm not saying you've got to go and forgive your abuser. As a matter of fact, don't do that. You can ask God about it. You can forgive someone in your heart and never have to face them. And guess what? You may never get an apology. Doesn't matter. I may never get an apology for the person that I am struggling to forgive. Doesn't matter. Because if I don't forgive, guess who it hurts? Me. A lot of people say, you know, not granting forgiveness is like taking a poison pill and asking and assuming the other person's going to die. Bitterness and unforgiveness is the poison that will eat away at us. So you can have those conversations just with God, forgiving somebody. Forgiveness means releasing the right to revenge, just what Joseph did. It means praying for the people who sinned against you. You know how hard it is for me to pray for the person that sinned against me? That's hard. It's hard for you. Even in a sibling relationship, sometimes it's hard. You don't want to. Mom, I don't want to forgive her. Dad, I don't want to forgive her. I'm not discounting that at all. But because we have been forgiven much, because we have been loved much, we must love and forgive much. It's refusing to let their sin against you define you. I am not going to let the one who sinned against me define me. I will no longer do that. And God has been moving in my life to get me to a place where I can forgive. And I'll forgive with boundaries. And I'll forgive and not let that happen to me again. And I'll forgive and I'll love again. And I'll forgive and feel the joy and the life that Jesus has given me by giving his life. But real relationships, stuff happens. And that's why it requires real forgiveness. And real forgiveness and real love, we can only understand that when we are standing under the cross of Christ. That's love. You may not understand that love. You may not understand that love because maybe you have not trusted in that love. Maybe you've never heard it explained to you that way, that that's what happened on the cross. That's why the blood was shed, to forgive you, to give you eternal life. And maybe you've never said, I believe that. I believe that's what Jesus did. Mind blown. You mean I don't have a relationship with my Heavenly Father? You mean that God, we're not all God's children? That's a real cute thing to say. Oh, we're all God's children. We're not. The only ones that get to call him Father are the ones who have trusted in his Son. And guess what? When you trust in his Son, you get all the rights and privileges of Jesus, which is mind-blowing. And when you trust in his Son, he calls you his adopted son and his adopted daughter. We are sons and daughters of the creator of the universe. Stop for a second. Think that to yourself. If I am in Christ, if I have trusted in Jesus, I am the son or the daughter of the creator of the universe. And if you have not trusted in that, if you don't think you can call yourself a son or a daughter of the creator of the universe, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now so that you can leave here as a son, that you can leave here as a daughter, that you can leave here and go, I'm going to forgive my brother. He took my iPad, but I'm going to forgive him. Not because mom told me to, but because I've been forgiven. So let's pray.